Those magnificent men in their flying machines, they go hop-diddly-up-hop, they go down-diddly-down-down. Down-diddly-down-down? Oh, I hope not. Ha! Welcome to Scrap Heap Challenge, the show where teams compete to make the maddest, most magnificent machines. They get just 10 hours to complete them from this, our treasure trove of scrap.
This time it's a knockout contest. 8 teams from all over the country have been selected from the hundreds who applied to roll up their sleeves over the next 7 weeks and fight it out for this, the Scrap Heap Challenge Trophy. The rules are simple. Everything's built from scrap, and the machines have got to work. Last series, our junk was transformed into all manner of mad machines. This year, we'll be making more. But it's not just the building. The ultimate test is when teams and machines fight it out in a head-to-head contest, and only 2 teams will make it to the final. So, what's the first challenge?
This week's teams better hold on to their hats because we're sending them sky high. They've actually got to build a flying machine. And in 24 hours' time, the team with the bird that stays in the air the longest will fly through to the semi-finals.
So while it's the flying machine that stays in the air the longest that wins, we're not expecting high performance. The early pioneers rarely managed even a few seconds in the air. So will our teams manage to build one that can fly in just one day?
Well, up for the challenge, let's meet our first team. This is the Brainy Bunch, a team of smart therapists from Cambridge. Team captains Dr. Chess, psychiatrist and Potter. There's Michael, a psychotherapist. And third member David, who's a structural engineer.
And this is ours.
Yeah, it's art.
Right. I'm Chest. I'm a psychiatrist. Some people say I'm potty, but I think what they really mean is that I'm a potter. I come and unwind by making pots, which is why I built my own kiln here in the back garden, which I made all myself.
I'm Michael. I love making things out of metal, welding. In fact, I'm a bit of a secret blacksmith. But being a psychoanalyst, my main job on the team will be to keep everybody's brains from overheating.
I'm David, and I build bridges, big, strong bridges. And I'm going to make sure that what we build isn't going to break.
We're going to make an excellent team, because Michael will do the thinking, David will do the making, and I'm going to boss both of them around.
Scrap Heap teams are allowed specialist help. The Brainies have cleverly chosen supremo aircraft designer Dr. Billy Brooks, who's been building model planes since he was 7 years old. Looking skyward in the green corner are the washing machine repairmen from Peterborough, aptly named Inner Spin. That's motormouth Trevor, team captain Rob, and quiet pal Sean.
I'm Trev, I'm the joker of the team. I run a karaoke called Mighty Mouth Karaoke. I can't imagine where they get the name from. What they should call me is Captain Chaos, because everything that I touch just falls to pieces. I break everything.
I'm Sean. I'm not fixing washing machines. I'm usually out and about on my motorbike. My main job in the team, being quite level-headed, is to stop the other two crazy people getting out of control.
I'm Rob, nominated team captain, because in the past I've built motorbikes, machines, all sorts of things. When I'm not doing that, I like to play drums in a rock band with Trev. Let my hair down and go wild.
We're going to be a well-balanced team, because whatever we've got to make, I'm going to break it, being Captain Chaos, but Rob's there to fix it, and Sean's going to polish it.
Chosen by the Rockin' Wild Ones to keep their feet firmly off the ground is hang gliding champion Darren Arkwright. He's got a passion for heights and once reached 21,000 feet in his hang glider.
Come forth, you brave hearts, you fair-feathered flyers. The scrap and the skies await you. Are you ready in a spin?
Yes. Yes.
Are you thinking, Brainy Bunch?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, you have 10 hours from now, so let the lean, mean flying machine build begin. Meee!
Engines aren't allowed. The teams have got to build unpowered flying machines. They'll be launched on an airstrip and we'll provide a winch to tow them into the air. They've been debating the options and have come up with a plan.
I'd like to start by building a hang glider, roughly speaking.
This is the main frame, yeah?
This is the main frame, which we need two tubes, sort of 2-inch diameter, 1.5 inch, 2-inch. The second thing we need is a sail to go on this thing. We need old tarpaulins, plastic sheeting. We want enough, pretty well, to cover sailcloth, pretty well to cover this area.
The whole workspace. Right. Yeah.
So while the green inner spins plan a hang glider, Chess and the Brains go for something more ambitious. They're thinking of a glider.
So, what do we need? Fuselage, two wings.
We're going to need to build a machine that's very light. We need to find or build a wing structure. So if we can find suitable flying surfaces, then that would be brilliant.
Of course, it took the Wright brothers a lifetime to get off the ground. These guys have got... So the scavengers get to work. The scrapyard's the team meeting ground. They can use anything they find, but it's down to whoever gets their hands on it first. Trevor, Captain Chaos, grabs everything in sight.
Aluminium stepladder here, lads.
A good bit of teamwork, though, by the Brainy Bunch. They head for the crashed plane that graced our scrapyard last year. It's finally found a use. But that wing is a heavy option.
Oh, great, look.
Bravo, India, Romeo, Golf, you might fly again.
It's a hefty 25 kilograms, and to make a glider that'll fly, they'll need another wing the same size. In fact, what the Brains will need for their unpowered glider is two evenly weighted wings, a tail for stability, a fuselage, and some kind of cockpit for the pilot. They'll also need a rudder and flaps, or ailerons as they're called, to help steer their machine. Their biggest challenge is going to be keeping the weight down.
Well, no, weight's also on Darren's mind. He's designed many hang gliders, but he's never built one from scrap. Weight's also worrying Rob.
There's quite a lot of weight in these.
Is that a bit heavy?
There's all a bit heavy. Everything that's been brought in so far is a bit on the heavy side.
To make an efficient hang glider, light materials are crucial. The spins need poles to make the mainframe of the machine. They'll have to find fabric for the wing that's light but strong, and build an A-frame and harness from where the pilot will steer.
Any luck on the other wing?
Oh, bugger.
Lucky old David's found the other crashed wing. Another 25 kilograms, but he's determined to get his engineering hands on it.
Bingo, lads, we've got ourselves a nice bit of tarpaulin. This one here's about 1.5 acres.
Yeah, if you can't find a 2-acre one, bring that.
I think this is an all-weather sheet for the Millennium Dome.
Well, as long as they don't need it, we'll have it.
Oh, my goodness me.
Hang on, wait.
So that's 50 kilograms of wing. Rusty, bits missing. Are the Brains seriously going to use them?
This is in bad shape as well.
It's totally corroded. Well, we could probably melt it up and bend it back or give it a good bashing. Yes, we'd have to probably...
Although those wings have suffered at least one crash, the Brains opt to repair them rather than build new ones from scratch.
Chess.
Help me.
This is for after the flight.
That's
or,
for after.
Right, if we haven't got enough tarpaulin there, you need your edge examining.
The shape and size, isn't it? That is really strong. Because, I mean, it's got that nylon webbing in it as well. So
do you need to look for any more cloth?
You don't need any more cloth.
Right, okay.
Thanks.
On Scrap Heap Challenge, we invite along an expert to help assess our team's valiant efforts. Joining us this week is 81-year-old veteran pilot and aviation journalist Anne Welch. There are few aircraft she hasn't flown or written about in her incredible 60-year flying career.
I got enthusiastic about flying when I was a child, and I got my pilot license when I was 17, which is a very long time ago. But I was very lucky to be able to fly as a ferry pilot in the war.
Right. And what did that entail? What were you
flying in? It entailed being paid £8 a week.
Wow. So you've flown Spitfires?
More than 100.
Have you got more than 100 Spitfires? Mm. Are they great to fly?
A dream.
Are they?
Yes,
right.
A dream.
So the yellow team really worry me because they look like they're building a 747, which someone's got to carry, and these guys are making a very light thing. I mean,
well, it's not quite like that, but it's that wing is going to be if they use it as it is, very heavy.
Yes.
And they've only got an aileron on one side, so they have to do something about that, because that side would then be much heavier than the other side.
So it would fly a bit, at a bit of an angle, which could be alarming for them.
That's right. This one will fly much faster because it's heavier, and that might be a big problem for them.
Hey, broke anything yet, Trev?
Huh?
Ain't broke anything yet?
Not yet.
That's the first.
Well, my best behaviour, I'm saving it for something really expensive.
So, nothing's broken, but is the Spins hang glider a better idea?
Hang gliders are now immensely efficient aircraft. It's a simple device, and it will fly very slowly because it's lighter, will be much lighter. Whatever they do with these things, it will be lighter.
Yes.
And so it has, at the present time, a better chance of staying airborne for longer, which is what the challenge is about.
Yes.
Chess.
Hello, Mike.
There's a fuselage here.
We're going to cut it off.
All right.
We have to cut it off.
Okay. Yeah.
So their glider's short of a tail. There's no need to analyse. The brainy boys just opt for brute force.
This may not be effective, but it sure feels good.
Weight is still the biggest worry for Chess and Billy, so they've resorted to some serious sums.
Right, lift equals a half, P stands for...
Air density.
V squared
is what we want to find out.
CLS is what?
Lift coefficient.
Oh, right, okay.
It looks complicated, but what the brains are working out is the speed they need to fly at to keep their glider in the air. The basic rule is the amount of lift upwards must exceed the force downwards from weight. Lift comes from the shape of the wing. They're curved to form what's known as an aerofoil. Air moving over the top of the aerofoil travels faster than air moving underneath. This causes a low pressure on top, so the wing is sucked and pushed upwards. But they'll only get lift if they travel fast enough. The heavier their plane, the faster they'll have to fly to get it in the air. When there's not enough lift to counteract the weight, it stalls.
77. God, I can't do my nine times table anymore.
Chess and Billy think they've finally worked it out.
Yeah, I think we're looking at a flying speed of around 35, and it certainly means that we can't run, not unless we're blowing a gale on the day.
So the thing I don't understand then is, what on earth reason could there be to go for a fixed wing glider that's very heavy and difficult to make?
You will get a better performance out of this shape, rigid wing glider, than you will out of that. If you can get it right.
Right, I see.
It could be a more efficient wing because you've got a better aerofoil shape, which is kept and maintained because you have the rigid structure and the rigid skin. But at the moment, that wing, I think, has been on the dump and is not what I would call a beautiful, fair surface.
No.
This is awful.
Having no wings at all, the Spins have got to build one from scratch.
What angle should this ideally be? 90 degrees or
120 degrees?
An angle of between 110 and 130 degrees at the front of the wing is critical. It's what gives the hang glider the aerofoil shape that will make it fly.
Teams, you have 7 hours remaining. 7 hours remaining.
So you've more or less finished the kite. When are you going to start on the proper flying machine?
Well,
we're just waiting for the tickets to come through from Heathrow.
Well, funnily enough, they're selling them next door for their aeroplane. Yeah, we're all going to be going off to the Caribbean in it, I think. What's your source of worry, your material?
The materials we're building it out of are...
bamboo.
Unusual.
There's quite a lot of bamboo going on.
Plastic pipe is a source of worry.
Oh, yes.
The aluminium scaffold pole. We started off with aluminium scaffolding pole, and we just picked it up and said, it's well strong enough, but we can't pick that up and run.
So is it just going to be a single flat sheet of material pulled taut? Are you going to be trying to build an aerofoil shape?
Oh, yeah, we're going to attempt to build an aerofoil shape. However, we haven't found anything suitable as yet.
What sort of things do you need? Are you looking
We're going to be looking to curve bits of aluminium for making battens to curve to form an aerofoil shape.
Right. You're not at all anxious about that at this stage? No aerofoil shape? On the flying machine?
Plenty of stuff out there.
No worried at all. If we look right...
What have they found now?
It's like the tailplane of a crashed F-16 fighter bomber, God knows.
It fought back, but I won.
David may have enjoyed a bit of destruction therapy, but the tail's no good. It's way too heavy, and it's a complete wreck. So still desperately short of a tail, Chess decides to boss the boys into action.
The tail plane is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And I think we better go, we better also have an eye to the time. So determine to yourself that some kindly person has placed you a tail plane.
Right.
I would find something that will serve.
Right.
Not steel.
Not steel.
Not steel.
Could be a bit heavy. Lead's probably out of the question too.
In the spin camp, Rob might be rolling in fabric, but he's not quite sure how to join all those pieces together. A hang glider wing would usually be sewn, but there's only gaffer tape to work with. They're all concerned it simply won't hold.
If you start taping pieces onto it, you're risking a tear.
Can we thread a wire
through
it?
Yeah, threaded wire and then taped.
And then taped. It's going to hang together, isn't it?
I would have thought so. Knit one, purl one.
Darren, how about this? Just stitch together.
That's just that piece. Just a short bit.
We are joining materials, Chess.
So.
We
tend to break things.
So. How's it going then, Chess?
Well, it's ambitious.
It's ambitious. I love ambition. Because I was just wondering what the cabin service is going to be like. What's the uniform of the cabin crew? Because it's 747 is the first three numbers that jumped to my head when I saw it. Our judge is very worried about the weight. She thinks it's very heavy to carry one person.
Yes.
And she's worried yours will tend to go like that very nicely and then go like that rather suddenly. And that's...
Well, if we can stabilise it and control it, then we should get a pretty good glide out of it.
Right.
But... If.
Yes.
Certainly would not want to be on the wrong end of this when it's up.
You wouldn't want to be in the way of it landing, would you? No, not with this weight behind it.
Yes, incompatible with life is what we say in the medical profession.
Is it? Yes.
This state of affairs is incompatible with life.
Anyway,
well, I'll let you get on bolting.
Get this together. Once this is together, I can think
of it. You can just
more.
Relax then and just sail through the rest.
Okay, get bolted.
It's lunchtime, and the singing spins threaten to treat us to a song.
So have you got any songs with a kind of flying theme?
I believe I can fly.
I can fly, that's it.
Oh, there we go. That's
is that one of the ones you do?
No.
So what's your favourite song that you do?
Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally, take it away.
Go.
That's got the mic there.
Mustang Sally.
It's the perfect opportunity for Mighty Mouth Trevor to take centre stage.
Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Mustang Sally now, baby.
You know, maybe we should have got them to build a karaoke machine.
Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Well, you've been riding all over town. Ooh, I guess you gotta put your flat feet on the ground.
Fantastic!
Unimpressed with the singing, Chess's team are more interested in their brain food.
Would it be fair to say that you're the slightly eccentric team, which is what they seem to think next door, that you're a bit clever?
Yeah, we're weird.
Yeah, we're weird.
Actually, we've had a pretty weird expert too.
It's one hell of a bolt cropper, that thing.
They've got off to a slow start, but the spinners are gathering speed. They've got frame, they've got cloth. It's time to tie down the shape of that wing.
Take it over that way.
Yeah.
We're going to stretch it out, tape it on the end, put some curved sticks in it, fold it tight and pull it under. What will go wrong? Nothing. Get the scissors out, chaps.
Teams, you have 5 hours remaining. 5 hours remaining.
I was under the impression we weren't allowed engines on this. Well, next thing we're going to need at least a phantom jet engine to get that off the deck.
Even without an engine, they've got their work cut out. To stand a chance of getting their hang glider to fly, they've got to wrestle that fabric onto their frame. And trickiest of all, make it taut.
Hacking away at that in a quite maverick fashion. It's like, this is a hack, 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 hack. If he cuts this too short, I'm going to kill him.
Bang.
Big trouble on the brain side, though. They've hung onto those heavy wings, but they're still one tail short of a plane. It's time to go back to first principles and rethink their design.
What are we doing for a tail? How's our tail going to be mounted?
We don't need a tail at all. We have a four-plane. We have a canard configuration.
Good Lord.
So,
So what are we doing with the The tailplane, what happens with that?
There isn't one.
No tail, huh? You're flying this, aren't
Our
you?
Concept finishes at this point.
Their original drawing had a tail out of the back of the
plane. That's right, yeah. But they have decided not to go for a tail at the back, right. But to go for a tail, which is called a canard, in the front. Right. It will make it stable, and also stable in pitch and controllable in pitch, because they will be able to alter the angle of the canard to lower the nose or raise it.
Or raise it, right.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
So the tail's out, and on its way in is the plan Billy's been conjuring up. A canard design.
Flying machines with canards. The Wright brothers knew a thing or two about these.
It was the Wright brothers who discovered that a tail at the front of a plane can be just as effective as one at the back. Its name, canard, is French for duck, as that's what people thought it looked like as it flew overhead. Like a tail, a canard keeps a glider stable. It stops the plane from nosing too far up, and more importantly, too far down. But a plane also needs to be kept from swinging left or right. That's the job of the rudders. On a canard design, the easiest place to put them is on the wings. Pulling on the left rudder increases drag on that wing and makes the glider turn left. It works just the same to turn right. Not wanting to add any extra weight to their glider, Chess and Billy have made the rudders from styrofoam. It's like a strong polystyrene.
I think that this idea of burying a stick in through at that kind of angle projects out here so that we can then pull it from the pilot's position with a piece of string.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Me, I'm the foam queen. Yes!
Lovely hinges. Okay, just...
All that taping and tying has come to fruition. There's enormous green growth in the spin camp.
Gentlemen, I think we have ourselves an airship.
The thing about the green teams is that they've got they are a single wing. There's no rudder or anything else, is there?
Just a wing, and no control surfaces at all.
Right.
Clovich on the top.
With just a bit of slack in it, actually, guys.
But that looks like they've got the king post.
Yes, it's about the right height.
We're having a little satellite dish on the top here.
Do you think it'll help?
From this king post, they will have cables, wires, running from it out to points on the wing.
Right. Well, about there, yeah?
Yeah, it's about there.
Yeah, not far off.
Yeah.
The reason for this is the trailing edge of the wing is raised slightly so that if the hang glider should start to dive or is dived rather steeply, the airflow on this little raised bit is much more sort of powerful than it was, and it tends to push that down, and that will bring...
Which pushes the front up.
Yes.
This is pulling over to one side.
It's just a basis.
Okay.
Not sure we can mention tail to Chess, as there's been a bit of a mishap.
You want to know the bad news?
Yeah. What's that?
Guess who stepped on one of those bits of foam?
Oh, no!
It's all right, don't fret!
I'm fretting. Who did that, then?
Me!
That's brilliant. Oh.
Muggins. Don't fret, I have a plan!
It's their canard she's trodden on, but I'm sure Chess's love of gaffer tape will see them through.
So who's your money on at the moment, then? is it a bit more 50-50 now, is it? Are you still...
It's nearer 50-50, yes. Not quite, but nearer.
The ugly duck, she may fly yet.
No more fooling from Trevor. There's tension in the air. He needs to find the crucial balance point on the hang glider to attach the pilot's A-frame. If it's not dead centre, it'll veer horribly in flight.
Are you both let go?
I've let go.
Yeah.
You've both let go?
I've let go.
Well, that's not far off, that.
No.
Just in front of
the
king.
Keep your thumb there. Right, bring it down, Trevor. Keep your thumb there, and I've got a marker pen.
Right, the balance point is about there.
Fabulous.
Precision is everything with hang gliders. Get it right, and the possibilities are endless. No one knows this better than British hang gliding pilot Judy Leddon. She holds 20 world records, including this one for altitude. Wearing full bodysuit and oxygen mask, she's lifted by a hot air balloon to launch from an incredible 40,000 feet. That's 11,000 feet higher than Mount Everest.
I think the best part was certainly the view. It was absolutely stunning. There's something very satisfying about taking off and just going as far as you possibly can. The main problem was the fact I couldn't see where I was going because my eyes were frozen shut.
Because it's so cold.
Yeah, it was minus 63. The trip down was extremely painful. I was still in a lot of pain when I landed. I mean, my hands unfroze. I'd been frozen for 2 hours and they unfroze at 10,000 feet.
If you're at 35,000 feet or something, I mean, there's jumbo jets and things around at that height.
Yes, bless him. The late King Hussein had made sure that the jets were directed around me.
Really?
Yeah, to give me the space to do it. I mean, we only needed a very small area.
We're going to land in the rocks.
How difficult a challenge do you think it is for... I mean, one of the teams here is going for a hang glider.
I'm amazed how well they're doing, actually. It's taking shape really well.
This is going to go for miles, this thing.
Would you have a go in one of theirs at the end of the day, no. Or do you think...
I'd want to see it fly first. I wouldn't go higher than I'd be prepared to fall, put it that way.
Right.
Teams, this is your two-hour warning. 2 hours left to go. Thank you.
Ah, loads of time. He said...
Get in there. So you're just hanging.
For a short flight, I imagine we're just going to carry on
bit of that.
Steering on this.
And so the steering is basically right, lean right to go right,
yeah.
Lean left to
that's
go
right.
left, yeah. Lean forward to go
forward.
If you need to make yourself come
yeah.
down.
But you will actually be suspended by this strapping system.
Yeah, you don't need to hang on.
When you say you.
Push. Speaking generally. But then you'll be able to push that bar away from you, or pull it towards you, or turn it sideways.
Right.
And you will be just... Oh,
just
the
hanging.
Pilot will be just suspended in on that main frame.
Pilot, excellent. Of course, is a phrase that implies controllability.
Hello, man.
Oh, hello.
It's getting a bit late in the day now, isn't it?
But well, yes.
They've moved
the
on,
haven't they? Gone the other
yes,
way.
Yes, mm. yeah. Now, the greens are on track, really, aren't they, as far as I can
yes,
tell?
Sir.
The inner spinners, but the brainy
no,
bunch.
Stop it! Stop it! You're beginning to upset me!
It just looks absolutely enormous, man. It just seems to have got bigger. Now, one of the things I'm confused about is the actual, where you know, the importance of the position of the pilot on there. I mean, it looks as though the pilot's going to sit between the wings.
Hang on, team. Official sitting in.
Yes!
Well, on any aircraft, you have to get the CG, the centre of gravity, correct. The yellow team have obviously done some calculations on this and are putting the seat in a perfectly sensible position.
The only dangerous situation with this is if the nose rises and I
can't
get the nose down. But what I can do is lean forwards like that. Get my CG further forwards,
wouldn't that drop it that
and I
way?
Reckon that that's bound to get the nose down. So I'm happy to give it a shot like this.
The only thing is, I'm not quite sure where the pilot's feet will go.
Do you want any control on your legs, or do you just want your legs to?
Well, that's a.
Do you see what
that's
I mean?
A thought, you know. I mean,
yes.
Ah,
yes.
Now, does he?
He wants a bit more of a frame in
there. No, I want stirrups.
Yes.
So Billy wants strings to his feet to steer the wing rudders left and right. And that flimsy Zimmer frame stick is going to control up and down?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then it's just pull back for up elevator. Okay?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So it's all looking good. How strong is that Zimmer frame canard?
Foam gaffer tape combo item.
Yes.
Alias your canard.
The Dutch.
Now, again, there's been a lot of calculations, the brainy bunch living up to their reputation. What made you go for the canard design rather than the more conventional tail?
Well, the trouble with the conventional design is that in order to get the centre of gravity in the right position, which is, say, about there for a conventional layout, means that we've got to put the pilot here to counterbalance the weight of the tail and everything back there.
Right.
And I began to run into real problems in creating a fuselage structure strong enough to take the pilot here and have the tail boom back.
Why don't we see any planes with these on nowadays?
In a canard layout, you end up with a higher minimum speed, so you need a longer runway.
Right.
So, generally speaking, people say these days the best place to put a tail is at the back.
At the back, as most people think it should be. Can I have a sit in your seat?
Yeah, sure. It's very good.
While it's
yeah,
safely on the
it's
ground.
Very ritzy. Very ritzy, and the in-flight drinks. Serve your tea, coffee, whatever.
Be careful of that joystick.
Too right.
So just pull the stick back for nose up, push the stick down for nose forward.
Could hardly
nose
be more
down.
Straightforward.
Well, are you having lessons?
I am. I think I've got the knack of it.
The emergency exit's just behind you.
One thing we do need, we decided we needed a black box flight recorder.
Is it? This will record, that's if it fantastic. Goes wrong, this will record why.
Very technical, I can
it's
say.
It's in the back here.
And all the wires get wired into the computer wiring loop.
Wiring, yes.
Whoa. Of course, we shouldn't have really let you film that bit just in case.
Oh, it collapsed. That's the adjustment.
We might have to rethink that one in the next 10 minutes, i.e. more tape.
Come on, let's see if we can all fit under it.
The boys have been transported back to their scout camp days.
Hey, Shayla. Hey, Shayla.
This is some male bonding thing, isn't it?
Ever had the feeling you're in the wrong tent?
Yeah, it's a boy thing. It's a boy thing.
That's right, yeah. It's a male bonding thing.
The crucial question here, this late stage in the day, is who's going to do it? Who's going to stay up in the wind longer? Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, it's a very difficult question. A very difficult question.
Yeah, once we've got this in, it'll hold itself.
There is no doubt at all that this one will fly like a straightforward, simple, slightly old-fashioned hang glider. And it will fly. There is no reason at all why the yellow team's aircraft shouldn't fly. I mean, it was really a very brave step to actually decide to use those wings.
Yes, yeah. Some might say crazy, but I love it. I love this one.
It's going to be fun.
Teams, you have 1 hour construction time remaining. Thank you.
1 hour.
So the final hour and still loads to do. The brains are working flat out, but worryingly, there are still holes in the wings to fix.
Holes.
There's just as much to worry about on Trev's side. They left that all-important tensioning of the wing to the last minute.
Teams, you have 5 minutes remaining.
Oh, we should have put the tail at the back.
Oh, no, it's the wrong way round, guys.
Fly it that way.
Just turn the seat round.
Yeah.
Bill, you're not going to get too many frequent flyer miles with this thing, I don't think.
Yes.
OK, you flying pioneers, time is up. The Wright brothers may have had decades, but you get 10 hours and you've had them.
So put your tools down, fasten your seat belts and hold on tight, because tomorrow we take to the skies.
No problem.
No, we wouldn't, mate. No, we wouldn't.
It's 7 a.m. and it's the big, big test day. This is Lasham Airfield, the biggest gliding club in the world. But do they have any idea what's coming their way?
The Gossamer Albatross!
Like all flying pioneers, the teams are allowed the chance to check the airworthiness of their machines.
Take up slack! All out! All out! Let's go flying! We need a winch!
So the fabulous Zimmer Strimmer, as it's been rechristened.
Yeah.
I see you've got the goggles on. Is that the final word on piloting?
I've just done a bit of test flying. I mean, it's all proven airworthy now. So
yeah, I can tell you that every single member of the team has been eating Yorkies non-stop.
What, in a desperate
attempt? In a desperate attempt to be overweight.
Anyway, good luck. We'll all be keeping our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you very much.
Come on, Neddy. Come on, Neddy.
Come on, boy. Sit there. Sit down. So you're not piloting.
Well, I was going to pilot it, but then we realised how dangerous it is. How unlikely it is to survive this. So he's got much more life insurance
than
I have.
You're very brave.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's sort of designed by fools and flown by an idiot.
Wright brothers are going to have nothing on this.
No, absolutely.
Honestly, this is going to go down in history.
It will, won't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't go down. It'll go along in history.
I didn't like the way you put that.
Good morning, flyers, and welcome to Scrap Heap Challenge Flight 1. Our journey time today will be several seconds. Our altitude will be a couple of inches.
A quick reminder of the rules. You'll each get three attempts to fly your magnificent machines. And remember, it's not about distance. It's just to do with time in the air. The clock will start the moment that the winch is released. Whoever stays in the air for the longest will fly through to the semi-finals. So fasten your seatbelts and enjoy your flight.
So as the teams prepare, our judge, Anne Welch, is at the ready.
Ready on the clock.
Yes, we're ready on the clock.
Excellent.
Good. They really are actually ready. The winches are all...
In the spins first.
In the spins going up first.
Rather than me. You've flown some pretty hairy machines in your time. Would you go in that?
About 1 foot high.
So three goes apiece it is. The spins are up first, the wind's blowing a good 15 miles an hour, and Darren decides he can get into the air by team toe alone.
In the spin flight number one.
There
they
go.
Yeah, it's like a tug of war.
It is, there's a few of them there.
It's like a tug of war.
Yeah,
go,
going,
boys! He's running faster than they are. He's up, he's down, he's up.
He's down again. He's going off in the funny direction.
He's not going fast enough.
Does that count as a turn, though? Do we say turn 1-0-0-0? It should, really, shouldn't it?
Oh, not without winch release.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tough ruling.
It wasn't fast.
So a harsh call for the spins, a miserable zero for their first flight.
So what would you do if you were them now?
I'd have another go, but I'd probably get
some sort of vehicle on the other end of it.
That's right. So they can go faster.
We've given both teams the option of launching by winch cable. It's a power pulling device to get the machines into the air.
They look very relaxed, don't they? Like
look
a Formula One team.
There, holding the plane up.
She's more or less holding the whole thing up. I think it might be cheating if she actually carries it.
Take up slack.
Remember, the brains are aiming for a speed of 35 miles an hour.
The wind is tight. There it goes.
Wow.
That's
fast.
Speed.
It's going very, very fast. It's off the ground. That is very much off the ground. It's still going. And boink.
I mean, he was trying to fly into the wind, but he's a bit skewed too. So he's having a problem with that.
Like he's quite busy with his very special string.
Compared to the early pioneers, it's a remarkable achievement. It's a 35-mile-an-hour takeoff, but it's not fast enough to keep those heavy wings in the air. So when Billy releases the winch cable and the timer starts, it stalls. So it's 2.6 seconds for the brains.
We've got a zero on the board. It's like, you know, we're now playing catch up. So we know it's going to fly. We're confident, but we're a bit.
So you're going for a super speedy winch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We've got 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, there should be a tornado coming over with an arrestor hook in a minute. It's going to lift us.
While preparing for what they think is their second flight, our judge Anne has had a rethink on their first score.
Oh dear. Well, I've talked to the inner spinners. They're very depressed about that.
Well,
flight.
I'm not at all sure we should count this because they didn't even release the rope, did they?
Well, they didn't release the rope.
Right. So you don't reckon that counts?
I think it would not be with a flight within the three toes for each.
Excellent. Yeah, take the embarrassing naught off
naught.
The board.
Very embarrassing. Yeah.
The lucky spins get a second chance, and wisely, this time they go for a winch launch.
So this next flight is going to count as the first flight. Ooh. Wind's taking him.
He's pulling back. Oh, there they go. There they go. He's off. He's
running. He's running. Yeah. He's really off.
He's not released yet. No. There he
goes. He's released. Oh, landed.
What's that now?
3.44.
3.44.
Put it there.
Brilliant, well done.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Does that fly or what?
Being lighter, Darren's hang glider gets airborne straight away. But there's too much flapping on the right side of the wing, and the extra drag brings him down.
3.44 seconds.
You're having a laugh.
From release to landing, that's where we time it from.
I got at least six.
Did you? What, from when he released?
From when he released... I counted as he released it. One, two, three, and as he landed,
that's not
I went.
Seconds, what you were counting.
Ooh, few problems with the brain's glider. That first landing has taken its toll. The Zimmer Strimmer's sprung a few holes.
The appetite of this thing for duct tape is just ravenous.
And one bit's come off altogether.
It
snapped off, as you can see.
So while the brains do some emergency repairs, the spins get clearance for their second flight. But the winds got up to 20 miles an hour.
Where would your money be, Anne? Where's the sensible money?
It's very difficult, because the conditions are not easy.
Yeah,
the
wind is, because of the gustiness.
The wind is strong, it's gusty.
What does that mean?
It means the performance of the hang glider will not be so good. In other words, it will come down faster.
With the brains at 2.6 seconds, the spins want to better their own 3.4.
Good luck, Darren.
Leg it, mate.
We want to see double figures. There he goes. Come on, Darren.
Wow.
He's up.
Wow.
He's up. He's a long way up.
This
he hasn't released yet.
Up.
Release.
Oh, oh,
oh, oh, and down. Oh,
not yet, not yet, not yet.
Oh, then.
Wow. So what have we got there?
Excellent.
4.66.
That was very impressive. Well, run.
The eagle has flown.
A smooth takeoff from Darren to the incredible height of 22 feet. Goes for a swifty release, but this time flapping on the left side of the wing causes him to veer that way and descend.
A day to build and 4.66 seconds in the air. If they'd been building it for a year, I suppose it would have stayed up for a couple of hours.
We'll go and tell them that, shall we, by way of encouragement.
Repairs complete, the Brainies gear up for their second go.
Brainy Bunch have done everything they can with tape.
They have used all scrap heap tape supplies for that machine, definitely.
All out, all out, all
4.66 seconds to beat now.
He's off.
There he goes. Very gentle start.
Hoping for a longer flight, Billy's gone for a faster launch at 40 miles an hour.
He's still on the winch, isn't he?
He's still on the winch. There's the release.
Still on the winch.
And he's down.
Oh,
what a bump on
the wings are still looking like wings. What do we see there?
That's a 2 second.
2 seconds. 2 seconds.
Hey, well done.
This time it's pilot error. Billy points the canard too high, and those weighty wings pull him down.
You bent the front.
Yeah.
We can straighten that out.
And they landed sideways, which apparently their undercarriage wasn't designed for.
Very few undercarriages on this side.
That's right. Yes, Billy said he didn't have a lot of choice. He didn't have a lot of choice.
The spins might be in the lead, but their wings looking very droopy. It might not last the distance.
This is it, last one. Yeah. We've got one last chance.
Yeah.
They're getting ready. Darren's on his feet now.
They're going to drag faster this time. He's hoping for a bit more speed.
Good.
You go, lads. He's up.
He is up. Seriously up. And he's steering much better.
Release. Oh, he's over to the right this time. Tuck your legs in.
Oh.
Landed. There's been a failure on the timekeeping. It's a disaster.
55 hours. Extraordinary.
Kathy, to time control, do you have a time reading for that one, please? We had a bit of a hiccup our end.
45 seconds, I got just the same.
No, 4.7, so you've beaten your record.
Fantastic. Looked good, that one.
If you had another 100 goes, you'd be up to what? 11 or 12 seconds.
It's the final flight for the Brainies, and they reveal their resourcefulness. They think that T-shirt is going to help their stability and so improve the performance. Whether it will make the slightest bit of difference is yet to be seen.
That's good. Can I make one suggestion?
Yeah.
We hurry up and get on with it because it's freezing.
Right. Are these webbings straight?
4.7 seconds, guys. Yeah. 4.7 seconds. They've.
Yeah.
So you're all ready to go. Then how's it going?
Yeah.
Keep those levers working. We love to see that.
Well, it's a necessity, I'm afraid. It's like taming a wild horse.
Good luck. Good luck. Go for it. Go for it.
Thank you.
Are you going to run after us?
Yeah. Right, I need to run the field.
But not underneath. Right, this is it. This is it. This is
the all important.
The make or break. Who knows what's going to happen now? History will be made. He's had some added sun cream on his boots to make them slide better.
For the slide factor. Low and fast. Anne reckons I need to go for this one.
Low and fast.
Stand a chance of beating the record.
Low and fast, Bill. That's the advice. Low and fast, mate.
Can you see down the end? I think he can do it this time.
I hope so.
Oh, they're taking up the slack. I love it when they take up the slack.
The winch
is tight. Oh, there they go.
Ah!
He's off.
low and fast and nice and stable on the release.
Oh, off he goes. Wow.
Oh, that looks good. That looks good.
Oh, he's veering off a bit. He hasn't got
Come on, in the air, in the air, in the air.
Go on, get it
he's
up.
In the air.
Up. It's in the air. It's high. He's going for high. He's going for very, very high.
He's released. And he's down.
Oh.
It seems taming a wild horse takes more than one day.
Better swallowed flat as the proverbial pancake.
I think the wheelbarrow.
Well done, well done.
Well done, mate.
Well done, mate. I'm sorry, I'm going to hit my best shot now. Well,
time commander, can we have your time reading on that fantastic flight, please?
There was a release, a time gap, and then a complete collapse. You know, and there was a gap between those two events.
Yes.
Here they come.
Fantastic flight. Time reading. The official time reading. Well, 1.5 seconds.
Well done, lads.
1.5.
1.5 the reading.
You are an extremely brave man. Well done.
That was just fantastic, both of you. I mean, however long or short the constructions actually stayed in the air, it was a fantastic achievement to actually build something that in a day that actually did go up in the air. I couldn't believe it when I saw them up in the air. It was absolutely fantastic. But without question, the inner spinners go on to the semi-finals. So there we go. It's a little present for you. Well done, congratulations, and lots of commiserations, you brainy bunch. You were just fantastic.
Fast
with very dangerous landings. Absolutely wonderful. Brilliant. And so we'll see you next week in Scrap Heap Challenge. Till then, bye-bye.
Next today, Mark is taking the Triumph's engine apart, then strips the wheels and gets out the welder. A bike is born after the break.